We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
How about Bob Walk, though? He joins us on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. Bob, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Sorry I was a little late. I kept dialing the wrong number to get back to you. That's quite all right. I am nowadays.
We all are. Quite all right. Ron and I were just discussing the guy on second to begin the 10th. I think from listening to you that all of us agree that we really don't like that rule, but I actually liked thinking about all the implications of it and how it should be played. How about you, Bob?
Yeah, I was saying last night after the game that it gave us a ton of stuff to talk about. There were so many different ways you could go about things. You know, it's not just the manager's decisions that he's having to make. It's like, you know, the hitters. Am I going to try and pull everything and pull the runner over? Well, there's a shift on, and the third baseman is having to stay on the third base back because they're, you know, to guard against a steal. So there's a huge hole on that side. So do I just try and hit the ball to the left field and maybe score a run that way, you know, without ever, you know, getting the runner even to third base? So there was a lot of different ways you can play that. I mean, it's the scenarios that we talk about all the time when there's a leadoff double in the extra innings. But it definitely adds a little spice to it. And I said last night, if this – I was born in 1956. If this was in 1956, if they had this rule, I would have lived with it my whole life, and I wouldn't even notice it now. So, you know, I'm trying to do this with an open mind and think about, okay, you know, what's best for the fans and what do they enjoy the most and not just myself. And, I could see where it definitely spiced things up there at the end of the ball game and made all kinds of possibilities come about.
Bob, we were talking about this, and I know fundamentals aren't as good as they used to be. I have a real problem with a guy like Dyson who hits low in your lineup, or else he's a leadoff man, not being able to get a bunt down in that situation. He has to be able to get a bunt down in that situation for me, although, again, I understand, maybe this isn't the old baseball where, you know, these guys, you think stuff should be easy for them to do. Maybe it isn't as easy as it looks.
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's got a ton of sacrifice bunts in his career. Maybe not a ton, but quite a few. Kind of like you would see from the average starting pitcher in years gone by. So he is no, spring trick chicken when it comes to having to be asked to lay down a sacrifice bunt. He's done it his whole career, and for whatever reason, he was unsuccessful last night. There was just a lack of execution. I don't know what he would say, that there obviously there was something that happened that he couldn't, he had three shots at it and couldn't get it done. It's like somebody making a physical error. Why did they do that? That's kind of what I think that is when you get three shots at a bunt and you don't get it done. It's like you made an error, and everybody makes errors, and there's times where, you're not going to get that bunt down, even though you try three times in a row. The pitcher's trying to not let you get the bunt down, so. Got to, tip your hat to him a little bit. But again, that whole scenario just, it adds to so much stuff. For an announcer, that rule is great. I really enjoyed talking about everything that might happen and what the managers might do and all that kind of thing.
Bob Walk on the Hall of Capitas fan hotline. Bob is brought to you by Moosehead, Canada's oldest independent brewery. Enjoy a cold, refreshing Moosehead today. Bob also brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. I'm so happy to be talking baseball things today, even though there's a lot going on in the league, actually. And I want to ask you about other situations from last night, Bob. One you mentioned right after it happened, and it was a huge play in the game. It was a smash to Josh Bell in the ninth inning during the comeback, where clearly it seemed the play was to second, and instead the tying run went to second. Do you feel like that was Josh not still having confidence in that arm.
Yeah, only he knows why he didn't throw that ball. I feel that that's what it was. We showed the replay, and you could see him field the ball, look at second, and if you froze it right there where he's looking at second, the runner is barely halfway there. So he still had all day. In fact, you know, you could make an argument if the ball was hit that hard, that if the pitcher does his job and gets over to the bag in time, they might even have a shot at turning a double play and ending the game right there. That would have been great. But yeah, you have to be aware of who the tying run is, and you can't allow him to get in to get into scoring position without even trying to stop him. That's what I think.
Bob, they've been obviously very careful with the bullpen guys. I don't think anybody pitched more than one time in St. Louis over the weekend. Yesterday, they elected not to go to Birdie. They stuck with Felice a whole long time last night. Can you argue they've been too cautious with these guys? Not just the Pirates last night, but pitchers in general.
Well, yeah, you can argue that if the ultimate goal is to win every single game, but I think that, and they've talked about having stuff scripted out, and we're going to do these things this way no matter what. They had all three lineups in St. Louis scripted out ahead of time. Who's going to pitch? Kind of what innings? Almost kind of like a spring training type thing. And so you've decided, they have obviously, that they're going to be very conservative with Birdie, and we're probably not going to see him pushed hard no matter what the situation is in this season, that they're going to take it easy with him. And he's probably not the only one. Cool, they'll probably, take it very easy with. Who knows, some other guys too. But I think I mentioned this a little bit on the radio maybe a couple of nights ago, that it's going to be a fine line to walk between trying to evaluate with the new regime what you have, who's going to be effective for the next 3 years, who's not, and make those decisions and try to win at the same time. If you had a six-month season, this job would have been much easier. But now you're a two-month season. It's a sprint to the finish. You're only a couple of games out of first place. You also have to balance, winning is going to be very important right here. A below 500 team is going to make the playoffs this season. So that could be us. You don't have to really have a high win total to make the playoffs. So it's going to be a tough job to try and balance those things of trying to evaluate players, young guys you want to see a lot, protect guys that have been injured in the past and are coming back, and try to put your absolute best foot forward to try and win every game. Because there's a little conflict there in some of those goals.
I think what I thought last night, Bob, watching the ninth inning, and I realize if Birdie's not available, then your options become limited. But if you don't have a guy who is your closer, why not give yourself two options almost at the start of the inning? Why not have Crick at least up? And I realize he's been struggling too. But it seemed like nobody was like it was just Felice to go out there. And whatever happened with him was going to happen, and a lot happened. So I guess I would have had two guys ready to go in that situation. What were you thinking during Felice's night?
Outing. When he went out there, I'm not surprised that they're not having anybody up throwing behind him. He's going to be the closer for that night. I mean, that was decided beforehand, I'm sure, that Felice was going to be the guy they used in the ninth inning. Who was going to start the game, how many innings he was going to pitch, if it was going to be Brault. Then you're going to bring in Cool. He's going to pitch so many innings. We're going to use Stratton to finish an inning, but we're not going to push him beyond that. He's going to be out of the game. He came in and threw just a couple of pitches. Inning was over. He's out of the ball game. These are things I think are decided before the game even starts. So I think Feliz was the pick to pitch the ninth inning. Very seldom do you see a ninth inning guy get up. You want to show confidence in that guy. You don't want him to look out and see somebody throwing in the bullpen as he's throwing his warm-up tosses. And you have plenty of time. These guys are relievers. They're not ex-starters or anything like that. They're used to getting up and coming into the middle of an inning and pitching. So I don't think that was an issue with Crick at all. He had plenty of time to be used in the way they wanted to use him. again, it was just a lack of execution by the pitching.
Bob, real quickly, Colin Moran just keeps on hitting a little bit and making an interesting situation for them. A lot of people want to see Ke'Bryan Hayes at third. The way Moran is going, man, you got to find a spot for him, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, the guy knocked in a lot of runs last year. I think we overlooked that a little bit. The thing that was disappointing was his home run totals. At the beginning of the year, I don't know if it was with you guys or somebody else, they asked me to predict for Colin Moran. I said, he's going to hit 20, 25 home runs. I think that's the kind of guy he could be, and he should be. He's big and strong. You watch him batting practice, he hits the ball as far as anybody. So that was a little bit of a disappointment last year as far as the home run total. You feel like he could be more of a scary hitter for the pitchers out there. But if he ends his two-month season with double figures in home runs, which it looks like he very well could do, then that's the kind of hitter that we envisioned him to be when we got him and really going into last year. And that's a middle-of-the-lineup guy. And if you have a middle-of-the-lineup guy, you got to find a way to get his bat in there every day, whether it's a position or as a designated hitter, which I think we're going to have for the rest of our lives.
So let me add on to that last question. Do you expect to regularly see Moran replaced defensively in a ninth inning situation? And if he is, might it be an option to then move him over and replace Josh Bell in that situation?
Yeah, I think that I'm gonna answer that in the affirmative, both of those things, because that's part of kind of what they're doing in their evaluation. They're playing a lot of guys in a lot of different positions and trying to figure out what works. Now, maybe as we get into this thing another couple of weeks, some decisions will start really starting to gel, and they'll say, okay, this is the guy that if we have the lead late and we're going to make defensive substitutions, we're going to take out. But you know, this is their first time at seeing these players play, you know, in meaningful ball games, and they're trying to read who does what in these games. It's a total different situation than in, you know, spring training type games or camp games, whatever you want to call what we were doing before. I mean, this is where, you know, the stats all count. This is where you actually try to get to a World Series, win a World Series. How do the players perform in these situations? And so that they're going to put these guys in a lot of different situations. They're going to make different defensive changes. And they'll decide what's right and what's wrong. But they want to do it on their own. They don't want to look at film from the last couple of years and say, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. They want to see it for themselves.
Bob, we appreciate the time. Good to talk baseball.
All right, guys. Sorry I was a little late.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.